Like the furry parties that happened right down the street from me when I lived in California.
You had furry parties right down the street?
Yeah, like those people. Yeah. How do they find each other? How do they even know?
Like, do you just tap on the shoulder of somebody at a grocery store and be like
I got animals and
right. I got this squirrel outfit.
Well, what about like
what
flies?
Are you doing tonight?
You're listening to Nothing Important. Please enjoy the show.
Gentlemen, this is the Nothing Important Podcast. Insert witty tagline here. I'm Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Dave. Dave, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic this evening.
great, man. So, well, first off, we're using Google Hangouts for only like the second time, and I am still upside down on the Google Hangout.
I don't understand what's wrong with your phone, dude.
I don't either. But so I got back from another vacation, man. I got to go on a trip to the U.S. Virgin Islands.
That's right. You kind of left the country, but kind of didn't.
Yeah, it was like weird. Like everything tells you that you
went uncontiguous.
Ah, there you go. Very nice. Uncontiguous. Yeah, that's absolutely true. The funny thing about the Virgin Islands. Well, first off, it's beautiful down there. But like you said, because it's right next door to the British Virgin Islands, so it kind of makes using a cell phone down there tricky. Because when you're out of country, you know, you pay exorbitant fees, but you can be on a beach in U.S. territory and it'll pick up that you're in the British Virgin Islands.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's really odd. Like you could throw a rock to a British island from a U.S. beach, and I was like, wow, that'd be really cool to go over there. But we didn't bring our passports, and it's like, well, yeah, you actually have to use your passports to go in between the islands too, which I guess makes sense because it's two different countries.
That's because the Virgin Islands don't give a fuck.
Exactly, right? And I didn't die this time. I didn't almost die, which I don't know if I ever told that story on air about how I did. Okay, cool. So I didn't die this time, but I had potential to die.
You had potential. You flew. So that to me is always potential to die.
I mean, you got to fly. So we flew there. So the process was we flew to Miami. We flew to Miami, and then from Miami, you flew to like St. John's, and then you took a fucking 20-minute taxi ride over the mountain to the other side of the island. And then you take a ferry boat to St. Thomas, where you take another taxi ride to the other side of that fucking island. And that's where the hotel was. But I had potential to, well, first off, let me start with, well, I had potential to die because, you know, here in America, we drive on the right-hand side of the road with a left-handed steering wheel, right?
Yes.
In certain portions of Europe, they drive on the left-hand side of the road with a right-handed steering wheel, right?
Right.
So there's always like that conscious buffer about how, you know, like, you know, you stay basically to the inside. Right. So no matter where you're going, you stay to the inside of the lanes.
Right.
Right. Not down there. Down there, you drive on the left hand side with a left hand steering wheel.
Yeah. I don't like that. Yeah.
Dude, it is the weirdest fucking thing. First off, to make left on reds, but then also turning. But yeah, like basically like a left handed turn is our right handed turn.
I feel like my brain would break.
Right. And I'm riding in this taxi that like the doors are falling off. A couple of the taxis were just basically the back of a pickup truck where they like bolted down like some fucking like park benches. And those were the taxis.
Uber.
Yeah. It was like Uber rickshaw. Uber rickshaw. So like, so it was crazy because like
Uber, you know, hayrack ride.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, you're coming up over these mountains and around these curves, and then somebody's coming from the opposite direction. And because we're used to driving on that side of the road, your natural reaction is to jump and be like, holy shit, everybody's on the wrong fucking side of the road.
Right.
That's not how it was. So we had it planned originally that our last day there, we were going to rent a Jeep and drive around and explore the island. And my wife was like, we are going to get a divorce by the time this is over because my wife hates my driving, you know? And what makes it funny is my wife never really nags me, but like she hates my driving, especially here in the city where there's like a million other motorists. And it's like usually the closest we come to arguing, you know what I mean? But she's like, I don't think our marriage could survive driving on the left-hand side with a left-handed steering wheel because I will fucking kill you by the time that is all said and done.
That's ridiculous.
So it was great. You know, we went and we saw a nice wedding. It was very cool. We had this like island, island wedding in the middle of a bay and stuff. I went snorkeling. I saw a stingray, which was kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I guess is actually a ray, you know, I guess you're not supposed to call them stingrays for whatever reason.
Because it's not one that stings.
Right. Well, they all sting if you step on them.
Oh,
but, I guess, I don't know.
I think stingrays are an actual species though. That's like you see a hammerhead and you're like, oh, look, a great white shark.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Point, counterpoint.
There you go.
So we go to the wedding and stuff. And after like 5 days, we were gone for like 5-6 days of like just hotter than fuck, man. I don't know how those people live. Like it's just hot and humid, beautiful, hot and humid, but it's time to go home. And, remember I talked about how you're real close to the British Virgin Islands.
Uh-huh.
Well, when you come back to the airport on St. Thomas, to save time. Well, first off, it's such a clusterfuck that they put letters in the hotels to say, hey, look, this is one of the most unorganized airports in the fucking world. So you better get there 3 hours early because the plane will leave without you. Like, it's not like I can go to O'Hare, which is like 3 miles from my house on the north side. And, you know, I can get there within an hour and still make the plane. They're like, no, this place is unorganized. If they say that they're leaving at 3, that's just kind of like a goal. Like, you know, like, so like if the plane gets too busy or it gets too full, they're taking off. And if everybody's taking too long, they're just taking off. Like, fuck you. And there's only like 3 flights a day, by the way. So if you miss this shit, good fucking luck sitting out here in the 120 degree heat. So you have to get there 3 hours early. But what's funny is everybody, because of this, has to go through U.S. customs, which is so weird coming from a U.S. territory and going through U.S. customs just to go to the other side of the airport.
Yeah.
So, of course, you have to go through all the TSA bullshit. And I would say a contentious relationship with the TSA, like not because I'm a terrorist or anything, but because I literally fly probably 6-7 times a year. Like I probably take that many trips a year, you know, like just flying somewhere for the weekend and back. And every goddamn time I'm targeted for the special search. Like I always get pat down in the middle of the fucking airport in front of everybody. And I cannot for the life of me figure out why.
Cause you have a beard.
That has to be it. But the TSA is the biggest fucking waste of money ever. And I was kind of chuckling because on the wall, it had like one of them like motivational plaques that was signed by every employee. You know, like at my job, it has like, I'm here because, and then it'll say like, of the customers. And then everybody signs this. So they're like, yeah, I'm here for the customers too. Look, I signed my, you know, like that kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a big sign that said, I'm here because of 9/11, and it had all these signatures. And I'm like, you're the fucking TSA. You're here because you could barely graduate fucking high school. Like, this is the only place you could go because you were underqualified to work at McDonald's. Like that is the only place that they can fucking go. So this guy's like patting me down and it just gets tiresome, Dave. It gets tiresome getting patted down every time I go to the airport.
Yeah, I've never had that pleasure of being patted down at the airport.
You know, one time, I don't know if I told this on air, but I'll tell it now. One time we were flying and this the TSA official was being really condescending. Mm-hmm. It was like telling me how to take apart my daughter's stroller. Like, so mm-hmm. I was waiting in line and I tell the guy, I'm like, hey, sir, the stroller isn't going to fit through the machine I'm going to have to wheel it around, you know, because they have like the little secondary gate where you can wheel stuff through, like wheelchairs and such.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, you can take the wheels off. Like, yeah, I can, sir. And I totally understand that. But that only grabs me like another 2 inches. The stroller, because we got one of them like ridiculous, like jogging strollers. Like, the stroller isn't going to
make all the jogging that you do.
Right. Yeah. Because I look like a jogger. Right? And I'm like, it's not going to fit through. Like, we got to wheel it around. So the dude gets really close and he's like, well, sir, if you just push this little button and you pull these wheels out, then they just come right off and they go right through the machine like that, like said that to me. Like, this is a TSA agent. And I was like, OK, wonderful. But it's not going to happen. So I take off the tires and they try to put it through the machine and it doesn't work. So he was like, well, I guess we're going to have to bring it through the gate. But I was taught in school. Like, and I don't even remember what he said, but I was just like, they taught you how to take wheels off a stroller in school, like in high school, that's what they taught you. And, it became like this pissing contest. And, so like, I'm standing there and of course I get the special pat down again. Mm-hmm. And the guy fucking footloosed me, man. You know, like, you know, that scene in Footloose where like the principal or the girl's dad, like confiscates the cassette tape and like the teenager's like standing up to him and he takes the cassette tape and kind of like scrapes at the bottom of his chin with it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like, I can picture it. Yeah.
Like, he like hits and scrapes the, like, don't talk back to me, boy. Like, scrapes the bottom of his chin with the tape.
Mm.
That's what a fucking TSA guy did to me with his hand.
He touched you?
Yeah. And I'm like, fuck you, asshole. You know, like everybody stops and looks at me. I'm like, that dude, I'm like, there's no way that guy should have been able to get away with that. I seriously thought about like beating a dude's ass in the airport. And well, I think I would have been justified too.
I'm pretty sure that if you would have whooped the TSA agent's ass in the airport, you would have wind up in like airport prison because 9/11.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because, you know, we're here because of 9/11.
Yeah. TSA is there because they can't graduate high school. Yep. Fucking retards. Okay. So, my wife was reading, or I'll just introduce this like it's a segment, but I have a better idea for it. Okay.
And now, things my wife says. I'm working on my voiceover voice. I'm honestly thinking that maybe I'll try selling myself as a voiceover artist sometimes.
Yeah, why not? Fucking try. What's gonna happen?
Like that one dude, I've listened to him so many times. I'm always just like, nothing important podcast brought to you by.
You sound very much like a Muppet.
Coming to you live from Third City Sound in Joliet, Illinois.
All right, so we're on the plane ride back, and my wife, I love her to death, but she's reading Star Magazine. And Star Magazine is a classic gossip rag, and this is the October 12th, 2015 edition of Star Magazine. Yeah. So what I was thinking, Dave, is we can have like an intro where it says like, bullshit, my wife reads, or however you want to do it, right?
But bullshit, I think it'd be funny. My wife reads.
I think it'd be hilarious to get like a classical music in the background.
like a Robin Leach type thing?
Yeah, like kind of like the Masterpiece Theater. Bullshit, my wife reads. Gwyneth Paltrow mathematically challenged? Someone might want to help the actress figure out the calculator function on her smartphone. This star has a rep for leaving poor tips because she's bad at math? Guess what, Gwyneth? There's an app for that.
Oh!
Fucking, that's bullshit my wife reads, dude.
What's wrong with you know, like, that's what happened to the Matrix. It just turned into a ridiculous nonsense in that third movie, and you know,
because you got to find a way to bring them down a notch, and then
right. The best characters are the ones that are flawed. You know that they could die. You know,
right.
All right. So then, if you were constructing a football team with superheroes, what position would you put the Incredible Hulk on?
He'd probably be like a defensive lineman.
There you go. See, that's what Davis said, like thinking. Nose tackle.
And he'd be like, no, I don't want to say, but he'd be like a Lawrence Taylor type, you know?
Edge rusher.
Yeah, like a pass rusher, you know, like a line, like, you know, like a, yeah, like a D, not necessarily on the D line, but like a linebacker.
Yeah.
He'd be the ultimate linebacker.
I was thinking,
what?
I was thinking Juggernaut would be my nose tackle because you just can't stop him.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's another guy that's like, ugh, ridiculous.
Yeah. They're all ridiculous. I mean, they're superheroes.
Right? I guess. It's, I don't know. That's why I really like the Captain America movie, because it was like, you know, I love the idea of these flawed characters and they're great with their great backstories, you know.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, have you ever seen or read the Watchmen?
Wait, that was a horrible movie.
Right, but see, hurting my feelings, man. But no, comic is amazing.
Oh, okay, but it just seems like artsy and pretentious.
I think I liked it because I really dug the comic book, so I'm totally like. You know, like I like the comic book, so therefore I like the movie. But I guess that doesn't always apply because I like Green Lantern, and Green Lantern was a terrible, terrible fucking
movie. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. How horrible was that movie? Oh, my God.
Right, yeah.
I don't remember.
That's one of the worst. It was that. If you had to rank worst superhero movies ever, Green Lantern is probably at the top of the list. Followed by Spider-Man 3.
Put Fantastic Four up there. I did not.
Oh, there you go. Which one?
Oh, I didn't even watch the second one.
There's three of them. There's the two, and then there's, you know,
like the old.
I don't know.
Oh no, yeah, that's right. They did the reboot.
Yeah, there was like they did two with
Jessica Alba, and then one of this new one.
The problem with
this new one, it was just lazy. That's all.
Yeah, I cut it after the first one.
Yeah.
I think they were just trying to cash in on the license because they were holding it. So they were just trying to make some money. Well, you're in the business. I think what happens with those big licenses is they have like an expiration date where studios have to make something with that license or they lose the rights to it.
Yeah.
So a lot of time when you see like half-assed, like really shoddily produced movies and such, it's companies just trying to you know, make something to keep the license so they don't lose the, in case something comes up in the future.
Yeah, just squeeze something out of it. Making that album on your contract. That just might be
right, yeah. Or that might just be me talking shit. I don't know.
That is true. I heard the same thing about, like, I mean, originally they had done a Spider-Man movie that never was supposed to come out. It never came out because it was just for the sake of holding on to the rights.
Yeah, it's very, very common, I guess. So, Eric, thank you so much. We're really excited to have you. It's totally cool that you came on. And, you know, Dave and I, we like workaholics, and, you know, your stand-up comedy, and you were just picked up Jim Carrey's new pilot, right?
Yeah. That's really exciting. A lot of great people on that. A funny thing about that is, like, we just had the table read for that, and I was sitting at the table read. I was sitting next to Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man and the Winter Soldier from Captain America. Those two actors were sitting to my left and right, and I was like, "Oh, this is great! I feel like I'm in a Marvel movie."
No, oh, that's awesome, man. When does production start on that?
Next week. You know, we're fully going. So hopefully, knock on, you know, whatever's in front of me here, that
IKEA furniture.
Yeah.
That's what I got. Knock on
IKEA. that it gets picked up after we film it. There's a lot of expectations. Great cast. So we'll see what happens.
You know, I read some internet reports, and I'm sure they're accurate and such, but people who have seen the script and such said that it's going to be something to watch. It's called I'm Dying Up Here.
Yeah.
For anybody listening, I think we went like 5 minutes without mentioning it, but the production, and you're still on Workaholics. How do you balance being on a show like Workaholics and trying to branch off into other projects?
Well, it's difficult, but it could be done. I mean, that's the whole idea. You know, we're only doing two more seasons of Workaholics, and you know, I've been doing Workaholics long enough now that, you know, I have a handle on who that character is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it's just a lot of nonsense anyway. You know, it's like I come out, I say something really stupid, and, you know, and then that's it for me for the episode anyway. So it's not like I'm like in every scene like that. It's harder for the boys because they're doing movies and, you know, Adam's on Modern Family and, you know,
then it's Pizza Steve and Uncle Grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. Blake's doing movies and he's got a t-shirt company and a, you know, Anders was just in The Intern. You know, he's got a baby. Blake's got a baby. They're just I have nothing to complain about, you know, so.
But yeah, that's, I mean, I guess that's the name of the game, right? You got to keep kind of keep at it, kind of, you know, make money while you can and. Yeah. You know, expand your horizons and look for the next project. I always joke because we've been lucky enough with this podcast. We've talked to a bunch of really great actors and such. And it's always amazing to me and Dave that everybody can keep it together and work on so many projects because, you know, Dave and I arguably between both of us have like 1.5 jobs. And
right.
And life can be overwhelming.
I understand.
Yeah. You're familiar with Reddit, right?
Yes.
I did post on Reddit that we'd be talking to you today, and I asked anybody if they have any questions that they might want to ask you, and I got some questions. Did you want to answer some Reddit questions?
Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead.
Okay. So I might not get some of the references on these, so if there's something really offensive to you personally.
And I know it's going to be – let me just guess without you even saying. It's going to be – it's either going to be like about white folks in smoothies or like about a hovercraft or about – it's just all these crazy references from the show. People, you know, answer those questions. So.
The first one is from Trippy Main 9. They said, what is your favorite memory of Jet Set Hudson?
The first time I met him, like when we were on set and we were like about to do this scene, one of my first scenes ever on the show, you know, and I was telling him like, hey man, I'm going to like lean over to you and say something. Cause I was trying to get him involved and he was so appreciative of it, you know, that we just like, it was just fun to work with him for the rest of the, you know, the time and, you know, rest in peace.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, Brodesto says, how is it performing for the Gulf Media's Jared Carmichael Presents Ray Garcia? That was a stand-up comedy event.
Wow. Very bizarre. That was a bizarre show. I didn't know anything about it. I don't know what it was. They just said, Jared Carmichael is a good friend of mine. He's one of my best friends. He was like, if he says, hey, you should do this. I was like, okay, I'll do it, you know, but it was weird. It was definitely a weird experience, but like, this is now, but people are obviously seeing it there, you know, cause I keep getting people making reference to it, but it was a weird experience. Yeah.
Awesome. Sir Furry says, if Jesus is truly the son of God, how come in every depiction I've seen, he is sporting an average package or worse?
Well, because it doesn't matter. Like if you have Jedi powers, you don't need to have size. Cause you could just,
right.
You know, you just be like, you know, you enjoyed it. You know what I mean? You could just,
you enjoyed it.
Orgasm. You know, you don't even need to go inside her. You just say, you love me. You know what I mean?
Just prepare for prepare for the second coming.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done.
And a thank you.
And 404 for life. The last question says, what are your thoughts on Snapchat? You have hilarious stories, and what inspires those?
Because I'm just as narcissistic as everyone else in the world, and I want everybody to see my story. So I just like... whatever nonsense is going on, I say, oh, that's funny to me, and I just put it on Snapchat, you know? Actually, I'm gonna take a Snapchat of this screen. It's a good idea.
Like me hanging upside down?
Yeah. Yeah, there it is, little video. I'm doing this podcast right now.
All right, right on.
All right, there it is. I'll put that in my story. So you can just tell people, you can look at my story to see... There you go. See, that's why you do it. It's little moments like that.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Friends appreciate, they appreciate the humor much more than the other crap.
Yeah, yeah. But it is what it is. It's the kind of world we live in now. You know, we're so interactive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, everybody always focuses on the negativity of it. But I like to focus on the positive stuff, too. I mean, the positive stuff is the fact that, you know, we're now able to interact with, you know, so many people now exponentially. Right. Just, you know, and then, like, we're able to, you know, we're able to stay in contact with people that we wouldn't normally stay in contact with. You know, we're able to find out about our interests and
meet people with common interests where you couldn't meet.
Yeah, meet people with common interests. You know, like what did people do that like had like, you know, weird sexual kinky fetishes before doing that? How would they even find each other? You know what I mean?
Word of mouth, I guess.
but how embarrassing that is to like, you know, how many people do you imagine all the people that like weren't able to really express themselves because they had no outlet, you know?
Right.
And so the internet has given them a way to be like, now we can set up a conference in Albuquerque, you know, because we can find each other, you know?
Thank you, Craigslist.
Right. Yeah. I never thought of that, especially in the terms of like crazy fetishes and stuff like that. Cause like, say the people that like to dress up like horses and stuff and like have like a,
like the furry parties that happened right down the street from me when I lived in California.
You had furry parties right down the street?
Yeah, like those people. Yeah. How do they find each other? How do they even know?
Do you just tap on the shoulder of somebody at a grocery store and be like,
animals and
right. Yeah. I got this squirrel outfit.
Well, what about
flyers? What are you doing tonight? Yeah.
But you don't see flyers anymore. Like that's like the modern version of putting up flyers or advertising. Remember the chalk on the sidewalks and the quad to advertise parties and stuff. And like,
now
it's all digital and you can interact and just, you spread it through a Snapchat or through Facebook or whatever.
Well, we got to go with the times. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it.
I think like all that stuff, stopped with me. Like when I met my wife maybe so, but it's like my single friends, they all like know how to use like Snapchat and stuff. And I still struggle to take pictures on the iPhone. And it's not like I'm like 50 years old, you know, like I'm in my mid 30s. Like I'm like 30, 34, I think, you know what I mean? It's like, I see my single friends doing Snapchat and Tinder and all these other and I'm like, whoa, like you don't even have to buy a chick a drink. Like that's amazing.
Not if you're profile. Well,
it's just another step. That's all it is. It's just a different step than like,
yeah,
you mm-hmm. know, how you meet someone. You still gotta buy her a drink. But now this is like this is just the weeding out process of, you know.
Right.
That's all it is.
Yeah, I know. It's just a phenomenal, I don't know. It's just so beyond even my being a person of this age, like comprehension that I guess I'm scared of technology. I think it's going to steal my soul. It kind of weirds me out. Like it took me like, I never messed with Twitter until we started this podcast. And it took me like, what, a good like 8 months to figure out how to do like a hashtag and shit.
Like, oh my God.
It's like
an old crazy person.
I know. Right. Isn't that so sad? My wife's like, dude, you're a fucking idiot. But
but it all works out.
Yeah, it all works out, and we have a lot of fun, and we get to talk to you know, cool dudes like you.
Yeah. So, see, without technology, you know, what would you do?
Right. Like if you would have told me even 2 years ago that Dave and I would have got to talk to people that we personally look up to, you know what I mean? Like, I said this a few times on here, but like one, I think it's funny that, you know, even though we're not radio, that for all intents and purposes, we have a radio like show that people actually listen. We have two of them that people actually listen to, which boggles my mind. But then as we started kind of taking a chance on being able to talk to people that we like are interested in hold dear, like, but just having the technology to do that. Like right now I'm sitting in my wife and I's bedroom.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm talking to somebody who I enjoy their work and I watch their art on TV, you know, and I see stuff online and that I hear about. And that's not like a star-struck thing. It's just because I'm genuinely,
what you mean. It's
It's just
but that's cool. What I'm saying too about the internet is like it's how we've like people are more accessible, you know. Yeah. You're actually one away from whoever it is you're a fan of. You know, it's like if you're like a Justin Bieber fan and he's got 60 million followers, so he's actually one away. He's a single move away from 60 million people.
Right. You can interact personally with all those people.
Yeah, that's direct access to all of your fan base. I mean, that's a great thing for him and for the fans.
Yeah, I think what benefits the most, though, are like music artists and stand-up comics. You know, as a stand-up comic, I'm sure you kind of feel the same way because, you know, if you wanted to record a comedy album and get it out there 20 years ago, you know, you had to take the chance of somebody signing you or pounding the pavement.
Yeah. I mean, and now you imagine. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and
what a disaster that would have been.
How long have you been doing stand-up?
I don't know. I think since 2003, really. Like, 2003 is – November of 2003 is when I decided that this is what I want to do.
How did you come to that conclusion? What were you doing before then and then?
Well, I was working at a school, and it was just a horrible situation, and, you know, and I didn't want to wake up 50 and be like, you know what, I didn't follow my dreams, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think most people don't, you know, most people think it's not possible. Most people think it's like a pipe dream.
Yeah. Pipe dreams. Yeah. Man after our own hearts. Cause we, Brian and I both are in careers of things that we love doing and following your dreams. Yeah, it's a big theme of our podcast. Actually. That's why we love talking to people like in the industry, especially, you know, people like you. You just
some people just go for it, you know.
How old were you when you chose? Because I turned 30 and I hit that crisis at 30 and said, you know what, I want to be an audio engineer. I went to school and started that.
Well, that's, you know what, funny is that's exactly how old I was.
Yeah.
See, but maybe but that seems like a common theme, but that might be like the sweet spot age, because at that point you kind of got all your youthful indiscretions out and you're kind of
the thing is, you know, you want to tell people, like, you want to tell young people don't wait. I mean, right. I regret waiting, you know. And people will say, well, you know, things happen when they happen, and I don't believe in that. We're survivors, you know. We're adaptable. This is why we can live in cold places, we can live in hot places,
right?
Because we know how to adapt. That's all that is, you know. So when when something didn't work out when you were young, it's because you're a survivor. When it happens later, you're like, okay, I survived my choices. I survived my decisions, and here I am. But, you know.
Yeah. What was it like the first time you realized that it was going to happen for you? That you realized, okay, this is.
I mean, the road is so long and so that it's like there's never a moment. It's just like you're just doing it. You know, it's like, you know, it's like I liken it to like, you know, like when you first learned how to ride a bike, and you know your mom or dad is like holding the bike behind you, and you think that they're holding it, and they always do it. They always let you go, and you're riding it by yourself. You know, and you're just like you don't even realize it. You turn around, and you're like, oh my God, you're not even holding the bike. You know,
and then you crash,
and then you crash exactly. But then you get back up because now you know how to do it.
Right on. Awesome, man. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show and BSing with us. I'm kind of happy how it turned out that we got to talk superheroes and football, and because we never tried to do like typical pepper you with questions. I'm kind of happy where you jumped in at. That was awesome.
No, it's perfect. It's no big deal. Anytime. And thanks for having me, and I'll see you guys on the flip side.
All right, Eric Griffin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Be sure to follow Nothing Important online at nothingimportantpodcast.com. Find us on iTunes, on Twitter at NotImportantPC, and you can also find us on Facebook. Nothing Important is recorded with help from Third City Sound in Joliet, Illinois. Thanks for being awesome.